Well, welcome everybody to the webcast. It's just such fun having this new environment, this new way of doing things, and I know Barry's enjoying playing with it. He gets all the ideas of what we can do, and he plays with it, and then he gets me along to sort of sort all the problems out, the technical problems. And between us, it works. But yeah, I just want to share a few things really this evening that I've been reflecting on of late. I guess really even the whole of this year, even before lockdown and the restrictions, I was kind of reflecting on my journey of the last 20 years or so, and really just looking at what Father's done in my heart, what I've come to experience of him. And just being really grateful for the journey that he's taken me on. And I'll talk, if you're going to come to Sue Dawkes's group on Friday, I'll be talking a little bit more about that, that journey and how it's impacted me over the last few years. But one of the things I was really reflecting about is, and those of you who've been on the webcast for many times will know it's kind of my life message, is really how God has become, or how I've experienced God being a father to me. You know, and many of you will have heard me talk about this before, you know, those two little words, to you, you know, to me. And, you know, God's always been Father. Of course, God's always been Father. You know, that's what we see throughout Scripture, is that he's always been Father. But I guess for many of us, we can identify with it, is that we can see a point in our journey when we knew that we began to experience that fathering, and that God was actually being a father to us. That it's not like God changed, but it's the posture of our heart and the revelation that is landing in our heart enables us to see and know without a shadow of doubt that the heavenly reality is beginning to be experienced in our heart. And I was really just reflecting on that over the last few months and just looking at it again and being grateful really for all that the Father's done in my heart and how I've come into that experience, because that's what it is, the experience of being fathered by Almighty God. And the problem is I start to listen to the way other people are talking. And so I hear people talking about Jesus. I hear people talking about the Holy Spirit. I hear people talking about the Trinity being the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But I never hear people talking about the Father. You know, they talk about the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They talk about Jesus, and they name him Jesus. They talk about the Holy Spirit, and they name him the Holy Spirit. But somehow, when they talk about God, they call him God. And my revelation, my experience, and I know, you know, of course, it's Barry's experience as well. It's many of our experiences, is that God has become Father to us, you know, and we no longer call him God because he's become our Father, and we know him as our Father, and we understand that the person that we used to call God is now our Dad. And that is such a huge life-changing revelation. And I was just reading some scriptures, some parts of John's Gospel the other day. And, you know, the sad thing is that although the Pharisees were living in Jesus' day and they were around him a lot and they were listening to his teachings straight from his mouth, they didn't get it. They didn't see it. And in fact, I mean, Jesus is really, really blunt with them. Because in John chapter 8 verse 42, Jesus says this to them. He says, if God were your father, you would love me, for I've come from him. I've not come on my own. You see, Jesus knew that, well, Jesus knew his father. You know, that's what he, that's the relationship he had with God. It was always father. It was father-son relationship. And, you know, I don't think Jesus ever knew God as God. He always knew him as father. And the Pharisees just couldn't get it. And so Jesus says to them, he said, look, you know, if you knew that God was your father, you know, you would love me. You would know who I am. You would know that I've been sent from him. And in fact, even in the previous chapter in John 7, verse 28, Jesus says, you don't know him. And, you know, I guess Jesus was probably quite happy coming to the world knowing that they didn't know him, but he was really hoping that that would change and that they would get to know him. And of course, that's the journey the disciples went on. They got to know Jesus and they suddenly discovered that Jesus was the way to somebody else, that Jesus was the gate, Jesus was the door. And Jesus showed us the pathway and led us, took us by the hand and led us to the Father. And of course we know the disciples got it in some of them more than others, but the Pharisees just didn't get it. And they were never able to come to get to know God as Father. I mean, Nicodemus did, and obviously Paul did, and a few of them did, but you know, by and large, they just sat in judgment and wanted to see the end of Jesus and so on. But, you know, here's Jesus very, very clearly saying, you haven't seen the new thing that God is doing. You haven't seen that I'm revealing the person and the nature and the character of my Father. You know, you've missed the point. And, you know, Jesus wanted them to see that God was not just God, but he was Father. And he was not just Father, but he was Father to them. And the sadness I have in my heart is that most of Christianity today doesn't know that God is their Father. They know God as God. And a few weeks ago, I went on a number of church websites all around the country. Big churches, different denominations, and so on. I wanted to see what they said about God being a Father. And I looked at 25 different websites around of churches around the country, and they all talked about their mission. They talked about knowing Jesus. They talked about being filled with the Spirit, but none of them talked about a personal relationship with the Father. None of them talked about being sons in the way that Jesus was a son. And they talked about the Trinity. They said, we believe in the Trinity. And then they went on to talk about Jesus, and they went on to talk about the Holy Spirit. And I was sad that here we are. We have the perfect Father. We have a Father who wants to be involved in every area of our lives. And yet somehow we miss it. And I know I missed it. I missed it for years. And then when I saw it, it was like, it was so obvious. I remember sitting in the conference in Toronto where James and Denise were speaking, John and Carol were speaking, Peter Jackson was speaking. And I remember listening to them, and it was complete revelation. It was like I never heard this before. And then I looked down at my Bible, and do you know what? It was all there. And I thought, how have I missed this for so long? And I know that's the experience of many of us, is that we kind of have this revelation. And you know what it's like when you see something, you can't unsee it. And, you know, suddenly it's so obvious, and you kind of wonder why is everybody else not getting it? Why is everybody else not seeing it? And you know, suddenly I was looking at my Bible, and there it was in black and white, what these guys on the platform were talking about. And I thought, how have I missed this? And, you know, I opened my heart, and I began to allow God to be a father to me. And I began to live in the experience and grow in the experience of that. And I really believe that's something that the Father wants to do for everybody. You know, he wants to do it for us in a greater way. For those of you who are watching who perhaps are longing for that experience that I'm talking about, I believe that even tonight, even today, as you watch this broadcast, wherever you're sitting, you can have that aha moment. You know, it's like the penny can drop and the eyes of your heart can be opened, and you can go, yes, this is what I was made for. And then we just grow in it, and we grow in it, and we grow in it. And I was just reading these verses the other day in John's Gospel, and it's like Jesus is saying, if you knew that God was your Father, and they just didn't get it, they didn't see it. And I was just reminded of this passage in Luke's Gospel, where Jesus tells this parable to his disciples. It's Luke chapter 5, verse 36. And Jesus says, nobody tears a piece out of a new garment to patch an old one. Otherwise, you torn the new one, and the patch from the new one will not match the old. No one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skin, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. See, but what really struck me about that parable was the first part. You don't get a new garment, you don't get a new sweater or a new shirt and cut a bit out of the side and try and sew it onto an old shirt, try and mend the hole. You don't do that. You know, it doesn't work. You know, it causes a tear in the material. You've ruined the new one because you've cut it up, and it doesn't hold on the old one because it pulls off, so they tell me. You know, what Jesus is saying to his disciples in this parable is, take off your old garment and put on a new one. You know, get rid of the old and take on the new. And I really believe that this garment, this new cloth, this new clothing that Jesus is encouraging his disciples to wear is for us to be clothed in the Father's love. See, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, it says, above everything else, be clothed in love. Put on love. You know, Galatians 3, verse 27, it says, be clothed in Christ. And, you know, many of us have, you know, we've grown up with our traditions and our background and our history. And I think Barry and I see this so much is, you know, people kind of hear a little bit about the Father's love. They kind of hear us talking, and they try to take a patch of the Father's love and stick it on their old clothing. Very often the clothing of religion, the clothing of tradition. And they wonder why it doesn't work. They wonder why their lives are not being radically changed. And it's simple. Jesus says you can't do that. You can't take a patch from the new and try and repair the old. And I believe what the Father wants us to do, I believe the first important step in us allowing ourselves to be fathered is to recognize that we need to get some new clothes on. We cannot take this revelation of the Father and try and make it like a little patch over a clothes with holes in. we've got to get rid of the old clothes and we've got to clothe ourselves in love. See, a patch won't change your life, but a new garment will. And I really believe that the first step in this journey of allowing ourselves to be fathered is to recognize that God is doing something completely new in our lives and in our heart. And the old cannot be repaired. It has to go. And I want to encourage you this evening to ask yourselves, what is the old garment that I've got to get rid of? Because you can't wear the two. And I really do believe that we have to recognize that God the Father is doing something completely new in our hearts. And it's a total work. It's not a patch. It's not an add-on. See, an add-on will not change your life. An add-on won't change you. But this is a completely new garment of love that the Father wants to clothe us in. That's what he did when his son, the prodigal, came home. He wrapped him in a new garment. He didn't care what he looked like. He just covered him completely. And so I want to encourage you to ask yourselves, what is the old? What has got to go? What have I got to let go of? Because the problem is that the old often becomes very familiar. It becomes very friendly. We become used to it. We like it. And we don't like to let go of it because we're comfortable in it. But that's the very thing that will hinder us from allowing ourselves to be fathered by God. See, that what has been comfortable, what has been acceptable, can no longer be comfortable. It can no longer be acceptable. It's got to go, and we've got to allow ourselves to be clothed in this new garment of love. If you want to hang on to the old, you're free to hang on to the old, but your life will not be changed. See, when I realized I had to let go of what was a very comfortable tradition, and I lost some friends over it, but I'd seen the pearl of great price that I wanted to get hold of. And I got to the point where, you know, this was worth going for. This was worth giving my life for. This was worth letting go of everything for. And, you know, what I had before was nice. It was comfortable. It was familiar. But it had to go. And I want to encourage you, because I know this is the first step to allowing yourself to be fathered by the Father, is to ask yourself, what is old, what has to go? And then, above everything, above all else, Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, be clothed in love. You know, he says, get rid of all these other things and put on all these new things like kindness and gentleness. But he says, above everything, put on love. And it's as we let go of the old and the familiar that we can put on this garment of love. See, Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, I've come that you might have life and life in all its fullness. You know, it's a gift. And this is the very gift that the Father is promising us. He's promising it to you and me, is life in all its fullness. That's a lot of fullness, by the way. You know, when God says all its fullness, he's talking about all the fullness of heaven being poured into your heart. And that is a lot of fullness. You will be full if you receive all of that. You see, what I've discovered is life comes through love. You know, you see it with a family, you know, a husband and wife, they love one another. And that love very often produces new life in the form of children. See, that's what happens. Life comes through love. And as we learn to live in love, as we live in love, as we're planted in love, as the roots of our lives go down deep into love, that love generates life inside of us. And, you know, my experience has been, and I know this is true for Barry, I know this is true for many of us, is that even when life gets tough, we know that there's life inside of us. And, you know, I know that that's been true in my own life, that when things have been difficult and, you know, I've been in situations I'd rather not be I'd like to be a million miles away from them. You know, I know even through those difficult times, I know I've had life in my heart, because life does not come from me. Life comes from the Father. And this life in all its fullness is a gift that he pours into our hearts. And it's the consequence of being loved by the Father. Jesus says, Paul says, in Romans 5 verse 5, that God's love is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says in John chapter 15, he encourages us to remain in love, to live in love, to make love our home. And, you know, the encouragement that I see there is basically move house. You know, get away from the old place. What's been familiar, what's been comfortable. Don't go back to the old way, don't go back to the old traditions, but move house and live. Make love your home. You know, and you know what it's like when you physically move house. You know, it's kind of like everything changes. Upheaval, you know, chaos. Fiona and I often say we're never moving house. You know, just the thought of it, you know, it's like too much. That's the sort of chaos that the Father wants to bring into your life. The chaos of leaving the old and moving into this home of love. Be prepared for everything to be shaken, because it will be shaken. But let me tell you something, this home is a jolly sight better than the last home I had. I would much rather be in this one than where I was. And that's, you know, for me, this is the key to allowing ourselves to be fathered. You see, if you are expecting me to give you 10 ways that the Father will father you this evening, you're going to be disappointed, because I'm not going to do that. And the reason is very simple. I've got 4 kids. I mean, they're all grown up now. I've got 4 kids. But I was just reflecting on this the other day. I fathered them in very, very different ways, because they needed different things at different times. And so as a father, I was responding to their need or where they were or what they were going through. And I might do one thing with one child and a completely different thing with one of the other kids, because that's what they needed. You see, and that's what our Father's like with us. You know, I can't give you 10 rules or 10 ways or 10 methods or, you know, if you do these 10 things, you'll know that you're being fathered, because God is the perfect Father and he knows what you need today. And he knows what you need tomorrow. And it may be different tomorrow to what it is today. And because he is the perfect Father, he will respond to today with today's need, and he will respond to tomorrow with tomorrow's need. And he knows how he will need to father you in a year's time. You don't have to worry about that, because he knows. You see, and that's really what the key, the central thing I want to say tonight is there's no rules, there's no formula. This is just about saying, I want to live in love. I want to posture my heart to be at home in love, because I want his life that comes as a result of his love to take hold of my heart and transform me from the inside out. See, for me, when I was in Toronto in 2002, the Father said to me very clearly, he said, Mark, I want to baptize you in my love. I had no idea what that meant. But I knew enough to say, okay, yes, please. And I'm glad I did. But do you know what? That baptism was not a single event. You know, it's a continual immersing and baptism and rebaptism and being baptized again into the love of the Father. Because his love for me and the experience of his love for me is way, way bigger than one event at the end of one meeting on one evening. You know, and that's the problem. Many people are satisfied with one event at the end of one meeting and they think that's it. But it's not. That's the beginning. And we have to keep coming to him and saying, Father, I just want to open my heart. I want more of your love. I want to experience you today. Father, you know what I'm going through today. I give my heart to you so that you can father me through today. And I don't know what that means. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I go to work sometimes. I've got no idea what's going to happen in the office. You know, today certain things have happened in the office that I kind of had an idea about. But, you know, tomorrow I'm going to have to deal with some of the consequences of them. And it's like the Father's good. He will father me through that. And he will help me through that. He will give me what I need for that. You see, there's no formula, because a father looks at his children and says, Mark, this is what you need today. Barry, this is what you need today. And all we have to do is say, Father, I trust you. I give myself to you to let you work that plan in my life. See, that's him fathering us. That's what it's about. I read something last night. I was reading a book and it said that the deeper we go in relationship with God, the more we can allow ourselves to have a childlike heart. And I thought, yes, that's it. You see, the reason we can allow ourselves to have more of a childlike heart is because we can trust him. And we know that he is dependable. We know that we can put our little hand in his big hand and we might not see the end of the day, but he sees the end of the day. We might not see the end of the week, but he sees the end of the week. We might not see the end of the month, but he sees the end of the month. And we can walk with him because we know that he knows. And that is enough. And that's what I'm learning. I haven't got it perfect yet. By any stretch of the imagination, but I am learning that it's enough to know that he knows. And if he knows, that's good enough for me. I might not know. I like to know. You know, I like to know. I like to have it all planned out. I like to have it mapped out. I like to have the answers, but I'm learning that I don't need to know because he knows. And when he knows, that's enough. And so I just want to encourage you today that, yeah, in one sense, it's easy to take a patch of the Father's love and patch what's comfortable, what's familiar. But I want to encourage you to jump right in. Get rid of the old, take on the new, and say, Father, this is how I'm going to walk every day for the rest of my lives, living in your love. You see, Jesus said some incredible things. If only we would listen to the words. See, in John chapter 15, Jesus says, I no longer call you servants. He says, I no longer call you servants. That must mean at some point in their relationship, it was a master-servant relationship. You know, the disciples came to this guy and they saw him initially as their master. And they would have had that master-servant, master-disciple relationship. And Jesus says, no, that's over. I no longer call you servants, but I call you my friends. And what I want to say to us today is we need to hear those words too. Because many of us, we still think we're being called a servant. And we still live in that relationship of master-servant relationship. And Jesus says, no, that's gone. That's out the window. I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. And I believe part of the journey of us discovering that God is fathering us is we need to make this transition. We need to make this transition from being a servant to being a friend. Because that's a very, very different relationship, isn't it? You know, I mean, the relationship of friends is so, so different to a master-servant relationship. And Jesus says, that's finished, that's gone. That was yesterday's story. Today's story is you're my friends. But he goes further than that. After the resurrection in John chapter 20, Jesus is in the garden, he's talking to Mary, and he says, Mary, go to my brothers. Go to my brothers. See, what's he done? He's drawn us into the family. And he's put us on the same standing as he is. You know, he's saying, guys, you're my brothers. Yeah, you're friends, but you're my brothers. You're my brothers and you're my sisters. And what that means is if he is our brother, we've got the same father. Because then he goes on to say, go and tell my brothers that I'm going to my father and your father. He's brought us into the family and he says, my father is your father. And we're family, we're brothers and sisters, we're one. And for us to allow ourselves to be fathered, to open our hearts to be fathered, we've really just got to chuck this whole thing about being servants out the window. Because that's the mentality that we have. See, when I was looking, I shouldn't have done this, but I did it. You know, when I was looking at all these church websites, the focus was, how can we serve? You know, what can we do to serve? How can we serve in the church? How can we serve in the community? How can we serve one another? And I'm thinking, yeah, we need to serve one another, but it's not about serving. It's about being friends. It's about being brothers and sisters. It's about being family. And, you know, of course we'll serve one another because we love one another. But our emphasis for so long has been servant-hearted Christianity. And it's ruined us. That is the old garment that we have to take off and throw away. In fact, please don't just throw it away, because someone else might pick it up and wear it. Please burn it. You know, get rid of it. Because that is not the Christianity that Jesus opened the way for us to live in. It's not the Christianity that Paul preached through his letters. Jesus says, you're my brothers. We have the same father. Paul says in Galatians 3, verse 26, that we are all sons of God through faith. You see, that's who we are. That's what Jesus has done. That's the redeeming work of the cross, is to make us sons, as Jesus is a son. And when I say sons, I mean sons and daughters, because we're all included in it. And it's when we know that we're sons, it's when we know that we're no longer servants, that's when we suddenly begin to realize that God is fathering us. And you can see why I can't give you a formula. Because you don't run any relationship with a formula. You don't run a relationship on 10 rules or 5 rules or 7 points. A relationship's a relationship. And the Father knows what each one of us needs. He knows what how each one of us just needs that guiding hand or those arms of love or that comfort. And he will respond to you and me as we need to be responded to. And so my encouragement is that we just allow ourselves to become one with love. And last week we talked about the heart. And that is so important. And I just want to read these verses again from Ephesians chapter 1, where Paul prays. He says, I keep asking that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the way, is the glorious Father, that he will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be opened so that you may know the hope to which he has called you. See, for us to really, really understand this, the eyes of our heart have to be opened, because it's a heart connection. When I was in Toronto and I was looking at my Bible and I was seeing things for the first time that I'd read thousands of times, what was happening was the eyes of my heart were reading those words on the page. And suddenly I could see what being a Christian was all about. And the wonderful thing is that I know that that has grown in me over the last 18 years. And I believe it is going to go on growing in me, because I haven't got to the end of it yet. Don't ever think you've got it. Because if you do, all you've done is bring God down to the size of your mind. And quite honestly, our minds are puny compared to what the Father wants to do in our hearts. So just all, I always believe that there is more. And I always want to push in and press in and try and get hold of that. Because God is not finished with me yet. So how do we see ourselves? How do we see ourselves with the eyes of the heart? Because that's the key, really. Do we see ourselves as servants? Or do we see ourselves as friends, as sons, as daughters? I know it's one of the frustrations that I know Barry and I have, and I know people like Trevor and Das and some of the other school leaders, that, you know, one of the frustrations we have is we see people catching hold of something and feeling like that's all they need to get hold of, and all they've done is they're trying to take a patch of the Father's love onto the old garment, and Jesus said it doesn't work. You know, it really is get rid of the old and take on the new. And I just want to finish really with a few verses from Exodus 33, where Moses is talking to God about the journey that he's on with the people. And Moses says, if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and find favor with you. See, I believe what Moses is saying there. This is kind of my interpretation, my paraphrase. I believe Moses is saying, if you're pleased with me, give me the rule book on how this works. You know, teach me how I should do it right. You know, because this is a big job you've given me, God. So give me the rule book so that I can have a helping hand. And the Lord says, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. I believe in that moment, Moses gets a deeper revelation. That it's actually deeper than being taught God's ways. Many people are taught God's ways. Many people live by God's ways. But there's something deeper that God wants to do in our hearts. And I believe in this moment, Moses is getting a revelation of what that deep thing is. You know, first of all, he says, teach me. That's about the mind. Teach me your ways. And the Lord says, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And Moses gets this revelation and says, if your presence doesn't go, then I ain't going either. And I believe for us, that's what we need. We need the presence of the Father. For us to be fathered, we need to give him permission to be present with us. We need to give him permission to be present with us. At the end of Job, Job says, my ears had heard of you. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. And that's my prayer for us, is that we could say, I've heard a lot about you. I know a lot about you. But now my eyes have seen you. Because as we allow him to be present with us, we see who he really is. And he will father us because he is the perfect father and he knows. Don't seek out a formula, but seek his presence. And as you live in the center of his presence, as you allow yourself to be planted in love, as you allow the roots of your life to go deeper and deeper and deeper in love, so you will begin to experience him fathering you. And so I wonder if we can just spend a few moments opening our hearts. And I just want to pray. I believe the Father wants to meet us today in the deep yearning of our hearts. And just in these moments, let's just say, Father, would you come to each one of us? You know where we're at. We need you. We so desperately need you. And let's just ask him to be present with us. Let's ask him to pour his love into our hearts. Let's ask him for that revelation of who he is. But above all, let's be prepared to get rid of what is familiar and comfortable, and to allow ourselves to be clothed in a garment of love. Thank you, Father. Father, would you just come to each one of us, wherever we are now, Father, and just pour your love into our hearts. Thank you, Father. Father, would you give each one of us the courage to take off that which is familiar and comfortable? Father, may we take that garment off. May we not try and patch it up and try and repair it and try and hope it will do a bit longer, but may we get rid of it totally and may we be clothed in love. May we put on a garment of love. Father, may the roots of our life go deep into your love. Father, I just ask you to come and be present with each one of us. Father, we know a lot about you. We've been taught a lot about your ways. But tonight we say we want to know you. We want to experience your presence. And if your presence doesn't go with us, then we ain't going anywhere. We're going to wait for your presence. And so, Father, we just ask you to come. Father, for those people who've got a desperate cry in their heart to encounter you as Father, Father, may the eyes of their heart be open tonight to see and receive all that you want to do. Yes, our ears have heard of you. Now our eyes long to behold you, that you would be present with us. Thank you, Father.